Hello and welcome to Sese Says So. This is a biology revision podcast aimed to help you with your GCSE biology revision. And before I get into this episode's topic, please make sure to subscribe to my podcast and follow me on @SeseSaysSo on social media platforms. So in this episode, we will be looking at the topic Uses of Biological Resources Part 3. And by the end of this episode, you should be able to describe the process of cloning in plants, describe the process of cloning in mammals, and explain the methods used in fish farming. So, without further ado, let's get into it. A clone. This is a term we have come across before. A clone describes organisms that are genetically identical to each other. And as you can imagine, the ability to clone plants works to the advantage of those in the horticultural industry. Plants can be cloned on the basis of what they have to offer, ranging from nutrition to appearance. The cloning of plants can be carried out in two ways. The traditional method of cutting. In this process, a section of the shoot is cut off. This section is then dipped in rooting powder, which stimulates the growth of roots. The cutting is placed in compost and then exposed to the conditions needed to encourage plant growth and development, for example, sunlight and water. The newly grown plant will be a clone of the original plant it was removed from. The second method is the more modern method known as micropropagation. Small parts of the shoot are removed. These are called explants. The explants are sterilized and then placed in a growth medium that contains hormones and nutrients. As the explants start to grow in size, they are transferred to another growth medium with a different balance of hormones and nutrients. The explants start to develop roots and shoots, so are transferred to compost and grown in an ideal environment so new plants will grow. These new plants will be identical to the original plants they are from. An advantage of micropropagation is a large number of plants can be produced in a short amount of time and at any time of the year, whereas a disadvantage is plants are more vulnerable to suffering from the same kind of disease due to the lack of genetic variation. Okay, well, it's time for our first pit stop. For this pit stop, you have to identify whether each statement describes the cutting method or the method of micropropagation. Number one, a section of a plant is dipped in rooting powder. Number two, small sections are removed from the main plant and are called explants. And then finally, number three, explants are grown in a medium of hormones and nutrients. Okay, well, pause the podcast, give yourself a chance to think of those answers, and we'll be back with the correct answers in 3, 2, and 1. So for this, you had to identify whether each statement describes a step from the cutting method or a step from the micropropagation method. So number one, section of a plant is dipped in rooting powder. This describes a step from the cutting method. Number two, small sections are removed from the plant and they are called explants. This describes a step from micropropagation. And then finally, number three, explants are grown in a medium of hormones and nutrients. Again, this describes a step from micropropagation. So if you got the answers to those questions correct, great job. And now we're going to move on into the next segment. As you can imagine, cloning in plants is a lot easier than cloning animals. In addition, there are less ethical issues associated with the cloning of plants. Dolly the sheep is one of the most known cases of cloning amongst animals. Dolly was cloned from an adult somatic body cell. This is how it occurred. An unfertilized egg has its nucleus removed. It is now known as an N-nucleated egg cell. A somatic cell from another sheep also has its nucleus removed. This nucleus then is inserted into the N-nucleated egg cell. A small electric shock initiates the egg to start growing into an embryo. This embryo cell will contain the genetic information of the somatic cell. The embryo is transferred into a surrogate mother. The offspring has no genetic relationship to the surrogate mother. However, it will be identical to the sheep from which the somatic cell was removed from. The cloning of animals like sheep can serve some advantages, like the development of medicine. However, as mentioned earlier, there are a lot of ethical issues around animal cloning. Okay, well, it's time for the second pit stop. For this pit stop, you have to answer the following questions. Number 1. What is the name given to an egg cell without a nucleus? Number 2. What is the purpose of a small electric shock in animal cloning? And then finally, number 3. Who is the offspring a clone of? Okay, well, pause the podcast, give yourself a chance to think of those answers, and we'll be back with the correct answers in 3, 2, and 1. So for this pit stop, you had to answer the following questions. Number 1, what is the name given to an egg cell without a nucleus? The correct answer is an N-nucleated egg cell. Number 2, what is the purpose of a small electric shock in animal cloning? This is to stimulate cells to start dividing into an embryo. And then finally, number 3, who is the offspring a clone of? And the correct answer, the offspring is a clone of the animal that donated the somatic cell nucleus. Okay, well, if you got those answers correct, amazing job. And now we're going to move on into the final segment. Protein is an important part of the human diet, and a great source of protein are fish. Fish farming is a method used to raise large numbers of fish in smaller spaces. These spaces can be tanks or mesh cages. In order to keep the numbers of fish high, certain factors need to be controlled. For example, the quality of water. Oxygen is needed so that aerobic respiration can occur amongst the fish. The removal of waste products like ammonia. This helps prevent eutrophication from occurring. The diet of the fish, ensuring that the fish are fed frequently and given a balanced diet. And then also competition amongst the fish. With this, there are two types of competition that can occur. Intra-specific competition and inter-specific competition. Intra-specific competition is when it's amongst the same species. And to prevent this, the fish can be separated based on their age. Inter-specific competition occurs amongst different species of organisms, so cages can be covered to prevent birds from eating the fish. Okay, well, it's time for our final pit stop. So these are the end of episode summary questions, so get a notepad, book, or use your phone so that you can write down the answers. Number 1. Why is it important for the fish to get oxygen? Number 2. What is intra-specific competition? And then finally, number 3. What is inter-specific competition? Okay, well, pause the podcast, give yourself a chance to write down those answers, and we'll be back with the correct answers in 3, 2, and 1. So you had to answer the following questions. Number 1. Why is it important for the fish to get oxygen? This is so that they can aerobically respire, which helps towards their growth and development. Number 2. What is intra-specific competition? This is competition amongst organisms of the same species. And then finally, number 3. What is inter-specific competition? This is competition amongst organisms of different species. So if you got the answers to those questions correct, superb job! And now we're going to move on into the closing segment. So there you have it, uses of biological resources, part 3, in a nutshell, nicely summarized for you. Remember to take full advantage of these episodes because you can listen to them as many times as possible. Be sure to follow me on my social platforms at Sese Says So on Instagram for daily biology updates. And subscribe to my podcast channel, which can now be found on most streaming platforms. Join me again for the next episode, which is the final episode of the season, and I will be reviewing the topic Corms style examination questions, so you don't want to miss it. Why? Because Sese says so.